What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Sean Salisbury Show here on the Believe Network. Sean, I think we're up to episode 16, if I'm not mistaken. We're moving right along.
You're probably right. Yeah.
And football season's here. The first NFL Sunday is over. We saw a blowout last Thursday with the Bills over the Rams. We talked about that last week. And to be quite honest, there wasn't a whole lot of good football played yesterday, in my opinion. I thought some stupid coaching, some
major,
terrible.
That was a big, great, aside from quarterback play, really good quarterback play for some and bad for others. I thought the coaching decisions were elementary school at times.
As we do every week now, the show is brought to you by Bet Online.
It is, Segs, and Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news of every league and for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50. That's BLEAV50. That's capital letters BLEAV50. It's believe, but just so you understand how to do it, BLEAV50. Believe to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts.
Yeah, and then when did college kickers make it to the NFL and just start kicking like college kickers again? Because there was missed kicks all over the place when it came to NFL Sunday. But let's just start here. What was your most impressive win or player or coach or anybody? What was your most impressive of the first NFL Sunday?
Let me take both impressive, and then I'll give you where I was disappointed. Aside from, like you said, coaches, I think impressive. Saquon Barkley stuck out to me, Sakes. Yeah. You know, because I'm not a first round running back guy, if that makes sense. Usually, and I thought, well, is this ever going to pan out? You know what I'm saying? I've got to that point where I was like, when is this going to happen? Well, meaning Saquon Barkley's health and helping the team where he looked like a difference maker. And he sure did against Tennessee. I think that stuck out. And then I can go to, I was impressed with Kirk Cousins. He played great football over the week. I don't like to just make it a quarterback thing. Hell, I was impressed with Jerry Hughes on the Texans, 2 sacks and an interception. I thought he played damn good football. We can go the resilience of Carson Wentz and with all the stuff he's been through, right? Hell, the Colts coming back from 20-3. I can go, but Mahomes sent in a loud message and quit talking about everybody else. I'm still pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the Herbert Allen thing, still obvious, right? It's still obvious to me that they're both great players. We're loaded with some really good players at the top. And I liked your Chicago Bears dealing with all the crap and still finding a way to win against a team that's supposed to be better. I mean, there's a lot of good things and there's some negatives. Joe Burrow's got to protect the ball more. I'm trying to give him the surgery with an appendix hall pass because I've had that and I know, and he doesn't want a hall pass, but you know he'll play better. And I thought the Green Bay Packers stunk up the place. They didn't look ready to play. It looked like Aaron Rodgers had to do some babysitting on offense, and he didn't have his best game. And Derek Carr's got to play better. Says you can't take those sacks late, and you can't throw 3 picks in that division. So there's quite a few of them. And let me just throw a little bit of love. I think we always start with quarterbacks, but Tua to just kind of do his thing and be he looks smooth and relaxed, if not spectacular throws at times, because he faced a lot of crap from people the last year and a half and 2 years. So I like that as well.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Tua as one of my more impressive of the weekend. Just the fact that he was out there, he was making plays, he was putting his receipt, you know, he has Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill now. We know how fast they are. We know how explosive they are. He was getting them the ball in spots that they could continue moving forward and use that speed. He was showing that accuracy. And I mean, I'm still seeing today and yesterday NFL analysts from big networks trying to put this guy down for the first throw of the game that was clearly tipped and it did, you know, and it went downward. And it's just, I don't understand why him. And honestly, I'm seeing it more and more now to an extent for Justin Fields is two guys, quarterbacks that I feel like are getting unfair criticism. And then we're seeing, you know, some quarterbacks that make a great throw, but play a terrible game, and they're being pumped up as the next guy. I mean, if you watch,
we're giving Trey Lance, did he get in the hall pass? Mac Jones got a hall pass. Mac Jones didn't play great football.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence gets a hall pass.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? You're 100% correct. I don't know, Segs, and I want you to finish your point.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the ultra hate for him. I really don't. I do not. When I say hate, it's almost like people wish him to fail.
Yes.
Because he wasn't drafted ahead of Justin Herbert. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like, how dare, like, it's like Daniel Jones faces the same shit. Now, Daniel Jones has turned the ball over plenty, but they wanted him to go back to Duke before he set foot in New York. Now, he's got a lot to fix. He stepped his game up with Brian Daboll this past weekend. Much credit. But you remember when he came out of Duke, Sags? You and I were working there. It's like, oh, this guy can't. Well, why'd you draft him? How horrible mm-hmm. are they for? Was it Dave Gettleman's pick? I think yep. Sags maybe. And they went through it. And they weren't even going to give him a fighting chance. Now, he's got a lot to do, like I said. It's like, too, it's like, oh, you drafted him out of Herbert. Even when people were questioning if Herbert was going to be the type of player that he is. And here's Tua. It's like when he has success, people would rather validate their bad opinion of him than they would validate the guy stepped up and played well, and he's well coached by Mike McDaniel. So it bothersome, and I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, I just don't understand this. You know, this is even something I was going to talk about, but this it's mainly on ESPN because that's the biggest sports network. But why these former players like Dominique Foxworth and Ryan Clark? Did you see the Ryan Clark thing with the Seattle Seahawks? He was doing the telestrator and whatnot, and they were going through a play where for Geno Smith, showing a good play from Geno Smith. He took time out of that explaining the play to highlight Drew Lock on the sideline and say, that's where he needs to be. Like, why do you have to do that kind of shit? You look like idiots.
Yeah. Segs, that's such a good point. I didn't see it. And now that you mentioned, but now that when you say that, it's like, well, this is a regular occurrence. Geno Smith playing good football. Why go circle and why find Drew Lock? Nobody.
Exactly.
We're all sitting here saying Geno played out of his mind and outplayed Russ Wilson in Denver. Good for him. Hell, does Ryan Clark really, and I love Ryan, but does ESPN, do we really believe that Ryan Clark had Geno Smith playing like he did last night, that it was a no-brainer going in and that he was the guy? I'm sure no trade talk ever came up. I'll pound the table for Ryan. I think Ryan Clark's smart and really good and has got experience playing in the league. And I'm just using him as an example because you brought it up because I did not see it. I don't get a chance to see much of it. But when I see that, it's like, what's the point? What are you trying to say? That you thought Geno was going to be a star or it's a hot take? Listen, I'm so tired. I'm talking about on any network, any radio stuff of hot take horse shit. I am. People, yet they don't lose. When people say stuff like that, it's like, well, like it'd be like somebody saying, well, Tom Brady's the 15th best quarterback of all time. But they don't lose their credibility for saying it. We respect hot take crap more than we do somebody like a Kirk Herbstreit or a Nate Burleson who just goes up there and gives you good, solid football talk without feeling like he has to create the news. He's just reporting it, giving his honest analysis. I said, Dan Orlovsky, I see it does a great job. I think that Marcus Spears does a nice job too, breaking down football. You know, we can go all over them. Ryan, they do. I just don't know why sometimes you got to revert to it. I don't know.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
As much football as those guys know, and what purpose is it serving me to say this is where this guy needs to stay? As if every expert in the world knew Geno Smith. Listen, 95% of experts thought Geno Smith was a stopgap.
Yeah.
And it's one game. And he may still be, or Geno Smith may have arrived and you say, finally got his opportunity again. God bless him. We should be telling Geno Smith how good he played.
Yeah.
As opposed to telling Drew Lock, you stay right there because you suck because you're the backup. I mean, what purpose other than clicks to get a reaction? Somebody in a production meeting said, let's make a hot take thing instead of lifting up what Geno Smith did because he played outstanding football last night. We're going to focus on Ryan Clark's. I mean, on Drew Lock. And I think you said it was Ryan Clark who did the second.
It was, yeah.
Like I said, I think Ryan does a really good job. I just don't understand the attacking of one or the saying that to one to get us to react, and we're doing it, as opposed to telling me how good Geno Smith played last night, because I thought he was Segs. He was the difference in the game.
He was,
and the red zone defense by the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, it was. He was great last night. Before we get into some coach, some disappointment for me. Outside of, I guess, a good win for the Seahawks last night, the NFC West, like, this is supposed to be one of the better divisions in football. I know it's only 1 week. It's the first week of football. But the 49ers losing to a bad Bears team in a game that should be set up for the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, the style they play, running the football. You know, it was a monsoon at one point. There was water on the field from the get-go. It was bad footing. Guys were slipping. But that benefits a run game. And what do we always talk about with the 49ers? Right. The run game. And quite frankly, Trey Lance was just putrid. He was bad. And, a good win for a Bears team that, you know, I've said on here, I'm a Bears fan. I thought they were going to be a top five pick in the league. Let's see how they play and see how Justin, he didn't have his best game. But again, this isn't a game where you're expecting 340 yards passing and five touchdowns. Both quarterbacks only completed, I think, 8 and 9 passes in the game. But the 49ers losing, the Rams losing on last Thursday night, getting their asses kicked by the Bills. The Cardinals just letting Patrick Mahomes carve them up like they had no defense out there. I mean, what a disappointing division. And if you look at it, the Bears, the lowly Bears with no offensive talent we've talked about outside of Justin Fields, outscored every team in that division in a monsoon at 19 points.
And we're far more resilient than the other teams involved. So yeah. I'm just telling you, they were. They looked like, what they look like? They look like a team that said, we're desperate, meaning in a good way. Sometimes desperation can be a good thing if you funnel it right.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get any credit for Fields taking them out for three straight scores because the 49ers got three straight penalties to give them extended drives, right?
Right, right.
And that their second half was great. And listen, and it's almost like, oh, they got bad personnel, so we can't give them credit for one win. Yeah. Hell, why wouldn't you? And you're right. Arizona, listen, until Arizona starts to show, Arizona's got to prove to me they're tougher. Segs, I'm not sure how tough they are. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I don't know how tough they are. No question. Number two is the Rams, and you and I said it, Segs, I don't have them in the NFC Championship game.
No.
It's going to be tough. Now, listen, am I burying a team after one? Hell no. They're going to win a lot. Cups.
Yes.
Good.
They're a playoff team, I think.
Of course they are. And they could very well do it. I don't put it this way. There's three or four teams. I can name half a dozen teams in football right now that in a game I would take over the Rams. I would honestly. I mean, today, I think the Vikings can beat the Rams tomorrow, don't you? I really do. I know Tampa Bay can.
Oh, yeah.
I know the Buccaneers can. And in the AFC, Chargers, I damn well know Buffalo can. Kansas City can. So we're looking at a half a dozen teams that are better than what was supposed to be best team. It's 1 week. But I saw a few little problems in the – there was a little cracks in that team last week. And we only got one game to judge them on. The old if the season ended today, I only got them one to judge on. Hell, if I'm doing that, the Vikings may have been the best team in the NFC this past weekend, and the Bucs going on and doing it without an offensive line. So you're right. They outscored them. And then it's the 49ers. Listen, I'm going to reserve the passing judgment, even from Fields to Lance, because it's hard. Listen, accuracy, gripping the ball, I get it. But guess what? They both had to play in it. You still got to gut it out. You still got to make smart decisions, even if you can't throw the ball where you want to throw
right.
it, correct?
Because the interceptions on Lance were completely on Lance.
There, and on one in particular was, and the one was, all, and the real, the one that you, both were, and the one I'm talking about was just, you just can't do it, right?
Yeah.
And he threw two of them. So whether or not tip balls up, I get those, but I'm talking about decisions that cause picks.
Yes.
And so he's got some fixing to do, Segs, and I'm with you 100%. The lowly Bears.
Mm-hmm.
The lowly Giants, The Texans had a chance, the lowly Texans, but they did
Yes.
have a chance to do it. And we go through some lowlies, right? The lowlies played pretty damn good football at times
Hell
this
yeah,
year
they
against the
did.
teams that we're supposed to. Yeah. And you know what? I don't know how long we're going to get to enjoy it, but I'm here for it. Okay. Right now, the lowlies are saying, I got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one, right,
Hey,
Chase?
I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, oh, next Sunday night, the Bears are just going to get their ass beat by Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, like always. But what did the Packers show you that, the Bears can't at least compete with them? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to
If they'd have
murder.
played Sunday,
Yeah, he's going to murder those wide receivers.
Oh, dude, did you see, you know what reminded me of, Segs? Remember Brady doing the babysitting at the end in New England when he was like that frustrating year? That look on Rodgers' face felt like it was like he was having a baby, like he was like the stay-at-home dad with 14 kids under the age of
Right.
three, as you well know about that when you had your
Yep.
twin, right? But it's like, oh my gosh. I love them, but they're frustrating the heck out of me right now because they want this, and four of them want to eat at a different time, and one dropped his sandwich like the football throw down the field. Dude, if the Bears play the Packers, if they both play like they did last Sunday, the Bears will be 2-0. I'm just telling you, they will be 2-0. Now, I saw this movie last year when Rodgers and that team got their ass handed to them by New Orleans, and we saw how the rest of the season went.
Right.
So. I know you're not writing that dude off either because he's capable, but there's a few pieces missing to that puzzle that they had last year that we'll see. And all it takes is a team to get a little bit believing in themselves. And one thing we always know, the Bears will play physical. Eberflus had him playing good football in a time when you could have just called it a hall pass Sunday because of the weather. I love that they
Right.
competed.
Yeah, defense was flying around, and Justin Fields made plays with his feet to extend the plays and throw a
Amen.
Touchdown. And Luke Getsy called a good game that set him up to beat what we think is a good 49ers team, depending on the quarterback position. But another disappointment that leads into the next topic is the Dallas Cowboys. I know Dak got hurt, and they were the only team in week one not to score a touchdown. But before Dak got hurt, he was garbage. That offense was garbage. They were terrible.
Oh, man.
And I mean, Ezekiel Elliott he's a number two back on most teams, if not all teams right now, because he looks out of shape. He looks slow. He looks like he's not really interested when he's running the football. So disappointing there. And then of course, Dak hurts his thumb and has surgery. And, most are saying he's out 6 to 8 weeks. We got Jerry coming on today saying, nope, he's only going to be out 4 weeks, and we're not even putting him on IR, which, I mean, you tell me, you're a quarterback. I'm sure you've hurt your throwing hand thumb. I mean, 4 weeks for what he did, that seems like wishful thinking and almost like you're going to force your quarterback back before he's fully healthy and risk ruining the entire season for
and
him.
And the range of motion, Segs, I mean, I haven't had surgery, but I have hit it to the point where it's still swelled up because you either get it surgery or you just let it heal. It's like a toe, right? What are you going to do? And I've hit it, and it's still the lower base of my throwing thumb from hitting it years ago. It's still got a big part off a big bump on it. It just doesn't heal. And you're not really, it's like mine wasn't as bad where it needed surgery. Maybe this day and age it would. And you just deal with it, and eventually the strength comes back. But the grip strength, holding the ball, the thumb is so important because that's the firmest part of your grip.
Yeah.
The other ones are in your fingertips, right? That's holding the fat part and the part of the ball you need to hold on to it. So that's one thing. And how strong will the grip be? And then when you do it, are you just going to put him in because you're going to limit yourself to throwing? You're going to hand it off? I'm with you. I think it's awfully ambitious to think he's going to be back after getting it cut on in 4 weeks. That's one. I'm with you. Listen. If both of them were put and gave the same amount of carries, Tony Pollard's a better player than Ezekiel Elliott right now.
100%.
Far more explosive. You're 100%. He's no longer a bell cow. He'll give you 120 yard performance this year somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
And he'll give you 40 yards, 60. He's not in the Henry or the Jonathan Taylor. He's not that guy. He's just not. It's not a dog on him. He's just not. He's not a guy that you go in and you got a game plan against anymore. Y'all game plan against the run, every defense coordinator. But I'm talking about where you say, if I stop Derrick Henry, you can't beat me. If I stop Jonathan Taylor, you can't beat me. That's how those type of running backs, right? Now
and
Barkley in New York.
Again, I'll say it, and I know you've agreed in the past, depending on the guys, don't give running backs second contracts ever.
Ever.
I don't care
And
who it is. I know Derrick Henry's awesome, but look, he got paid, he got hurt, and yeah, could he be good again? Sure, but now you've lost almost a full season of
yep.
after he was paid. You just don't pay these guys because it almost never works out.
Stiggs, I'll give him a second contract. Guess what it'll be? Short term.
Yes,
I'll talk
give me
short
a
term all the
two-year
time.
deal. Sure, if you
Exactly
want,
right.
2 years,
That's
30
right.
million,
Once I give you
whatever.
5 or 6 after that, I'll give you 15 million if you're that guy, but you're getting it for 2 years, and I'll guarantee 20 of it. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just not giving you a 7-year deal. I don't care. I can't do it. That takes you into your 30s, and unfortunately, you got to be a special freak show to get, especially the punishment that some of those guys like he,
Yes, for
as good
sure.
as Jonathan Taylor is now, 6 years from now, Sags is going to be a different player. He just is, and unless of course we find the fountain of youth and something happens, but he's a hell of a player now, and that's why you milk him as long as you can
Yeah,
and maximize every ounce of it, and
if
then you go on to the then you got to go on to the next guy. So with that, Sags, Cowboys major disappointment. I reserve a hall pass on my show. When I took them, Sags, a healthy Cowboys quarterback, screw the injury. Watching that game, I wanted a hall pass at
Ooh.
halftime to get to the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
I told my guys, I said, I'm giving everybody college or NFL, you get one mulligan, and it's got to be done by the end of September. And you know who my mulligan is? Out goes out. They're done. Anybody who took Notre Dame probably wants that mulligan for their thing, but
Oh,
we'll talk about
Jesus.
college later in the week. But out goes the Cowboys because, and Sags, they didn't take care of their backup quarterback position either. They just, these teams that just assume, oh, man, think about your Bears, the years that Josh McCown came off the bench and how good they were, right?
Yeah.
They saved themselves. I just don't, the teams like Buffalo with Case Keenum, teams like even the Saints with Andy Dalton, Teddy Bridgewater in Miami, Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, who's the best of the group. If you're a playoff team and you haven't prepared yourself like this, and you're just going to throw caution to the wind and hope something doesn't happen, you're an idiot. And I don't know why they would. You'll invest in a backup defensive tackle. Why wouldn't you invest in a quarterback if you're a playoff team? I
Right.
don't get it. I don't
Yeah,
get it.
and now we sit here and it sounds like, from the sound of all reports that we're hearing out of Dallas, they're going with Cooper Rush. And I mean, Cooper Rush has not played much, but I definitely don't think he's a guy that's going to go in there and say he's there for 6 games. I don't even think he goes 3-3 with that offense. I don't think they have the type of running game, or the defense is still solid, but I just don't think Cooper Rush is the guy. There was some names thrown around. I thought Mason Rudolph is at least a guy that's played. I threw
And
his name
you'd be
out
willing to
there.
part with if you're Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
You're willing to
if you're
part with
Pittsburgh,
him.
he's your number three. Like,
Right.
take a fifth, or sixth round pick for him. I thought if you're the Bears, why wouldn't you call and offer up Trevor Siemian? I mean, just say, hey,
Experience. Yep.
yeah, he's got starting experience. He's won football games in the past. If you're the Bears, you're not thinking playoffs at this moment. So you're hoping that
Go get an asset. I'm
exactly
with you.
go get a pick of some kind. So, I mean, there's plenty of names, but if you're Dallas, it sounds like they're going to stick with Cooper Rush. And all I can say is good luck to you there.
Yeah, Segs, and the way they were playing, I know it was one game, and Tampa's defense flies around.
Oh, yeah.
We had talked. I told you, I believe Tampa's defense is really, really good, and we saw them fly around. I'm not sure they're going 3-3 with Dak the way they look,
Yeah,
the
for
way they
sure.
looked in that game
Agreed.
before the injury. I'm not sure they're winning three games in the next six with in the next 4 weeks, or two games and going 500 with Prescott, let alone without him. The way that offense, there's something missing fluid wise, and I don't know. It just never gets to the point. When I watch those great, it's like even Cincinnati, even though Burrow threw it to the other team 4 times, they're still rolling, right? I mean,
You
you just
felt
know
like
every
they
time.
could come back even against the good
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh defense.
Absolutely. And in truth, I never felt like they were out of the game
Right.
because we know what kind of weapon there's team. With Brady's playing and you got him by 2.5 touchdowns and it's the third quarter with those receivers, I'm not,
No,
you're a
they're
dumbass if
right
you think
there.
that you
Yeah.
can't. That's exactly right. So we know that there's those type of teams. Hell, I'm not counting the Rams out with Kupp and that group either,
Right, for sure.
but you just, there's something that it's almost like it's a 12 cylinder engine that has got it's got eight of them, but four of them were wondering why they're not firing. Does that make sense in the Dallas off? They got weapons, but it's just like, eh, it's, it, I need to take it in for a tune-up, and it's a brand-new vehicle. What the hell's going on here? That's the problem.
All right, and then moving to the next topic. I'm sure you wanted to throw your phone, remote, any your dogs, anything
there,
you could grab and throw at the TV when in your city of Houston, Lovie Smith has fourth and five from, what was it, about the 40, the Colts 46-ish or so?
Well, if it was fourth and one. I mean, oh, you talked fourth and three on the last play.
Or fourth and three, excuse me. Yeah.
Yes.
Fourth and three.
Yeah, you were thinking last night was fourth and five.
Yeah, I was thinking
Russ
fourth and
Wilson
five last
field
night.
Goal.
Yeah. Right. Fourth and three for the Texans.
Inside a minute, 40 some seconds to go, third down and one.
Right.
And then fourth and three when they handed it to a guy who's never been a feature back at any
Rex
point in
Burkhead.
His career, who is a solid number, who's your number three guy.
Yeah, he's a third down back.
Right, and he got
in
19 touches
game.
In the game. 19 touches in the game.
19 touches.
He's the guy been a feature guy in his life, and he's in his 30s now.
The guy they've talked up all offseason, Damian Pierce, the guy that, you know, they had people taking him in fantasy drafts in the second and third round because they've talked him up so much. What did he touch? 10 times? Touched it 10 times?
He touched it 11 times.
10 and carries in a catch or something?
Right, and like, and Lovie Smith says, we wanted to put him in more. Well,
then
why
do it.
I mean, you get caught up in the game, then get his ass out. So Burkhead's the guy that comes and gets five touches in a four-minute drill to kill the clock because you trust he's not going to lay it on the ground. He's going to block the right guy.
Yes.
Third and one, Segs, he's in there for a reason. We're going to hand it to him. That didn't give me a threat of getting to the edge. It's between the times.
Nothing.
You saw what happened. I still exploded my head. So you go ahead and finish your question. Was I throw? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Out of my friggin' mind.
Throwing everything when it's fourth and three in Colts territory with about 40-ish seconds left.
And, after the
in
play,
a tie game,
down to 26 seconds, right?
Yeah. In a tie game, he punts. In overtime, he punts. So all the Colts had was a few seconds left to, you know, try a Hail Mary to. The game ended in a tie because Lovie Smith punted.
And listen, he's good for this team because he's a good stabilizing factor. People don't know all about him in your town, as we know. And just because we criticize him doesn't mean I don't think he's going to do some good things. Because I think he's done some good things with defense. Even though the statistics say the Colts did whatever they wanted with Jonathan Taylor and Matt Ryan, they still, down in the red zone, did a great job of the Jonathan Taylor on the Wildcat stuffing it. They did some really – and they're active. The Petrie's flying around hitting people. Their corners are far better, Segs, than when you were here. With Stingley and Nelson, they're making far more plays, right? So there's a substance there that says, and Jerry Hughes, okay, something to build on. And Jonathan Taylor's not exactly chopped liver. He's a tough guy to play against, and Matt Ryan's cagey enough to make some throws. Well, with that, Burkhead in the game. You were 20-3 in the fourth quarter. You had the lead, and you literally urinated down your league, gave it away, because you didn't execute and gave Matt Ryan and Jonathan Taylor too many chances. Then the rhyme or reason of why Burkhead's in the game at that time. And then Segs, if you're making this decision in December, and let's say you're 10-4,
right,
and you're in the playoff hunt, and a tie is going to win you a half a game in the division, and you're going to make the playoffs, you don't do these things when, one, you're trying to win your team over, you're trying to show trust, you're trying to have – listen, it feels like a loss, and I know – because that tie is not going to make one bit of difference when the division's decided in late December. You know that as a fact. It will for the Colts.
Yes.
It may now, but it's because they're going to be the Texans are not going to be standing there winning the division unless there's some miracle. Kind of like the Giants aren't going to win the NFC East, but there's hope, right? You got some hope because the Giants, look at the difference how locker rooms feel. Brian Daboll said, gives the middle finger, fourth and one, we got to go for it. And then we score, and then we're going to go for 2 points. I'm getting out of here. I'm not playing for that tie and go to overtime. I'm playing to get my butt out of here. We're going to beat you now. And they did. I just think, to me, I can like Lovie Smith, but hate the decision. I think it sent the wrong message. I think you had a chance to prove to you. You said there's going to be change in culture and the way we do things, and you played it like you're a defensive head coach. You played scared, and here was his answer. Settle. He used the word settle. And he thought, well, I'd rather take the tie than the loss, which already tells me you thought your defense couldn't get off the field on that last one with 26 seconds left if you'd have give the ball back. And on the other side, see, I was thinking, Segs, go for the win. if you don't win, defense will get me off the field. One catch and a completion, tackle, and you get out. And then you go for the – then if you tie, okay. But I was thinking, go down and win the damn game. You got a chance to steal one against a team that's better than you.
Yeah,
I hated it, and I couldn't stand the message it sent. And when people say, well, yeah, it's good to play. No, it isn't. It said, no, there was nothing gained by playing for a tie, period, other than you're going to end up being, what, 6-0-1? You know, I mean, you know, what is it, 6-10-1 at the end of the season? I can't stand it. They should have gone for it. And then you could face your team and say, I believe in you. Brian Daboll won his team over even if they'd have failed on the two-point conversion. And I love Coach Smith. I thought it was a weak-ass decision. I did.
Yeah, it's just the matter of fact of next time, say week three, you're in a close game. I think they play the Bears week three, if I'm not mistaken. You're in a close game, two bad teams. It's 4th-and-2 late in the game. And you know what? Lovey's like, yeah, let's go for it. If you're Davis Mills, it's like, why are we going for it now? Like,
right.
But you obviously don't believe in us. So why are you picking now? Either that thought is in the back of all their minds when you see it.
Okay. They're playing they're playing Denver this week.
Yeah.
Okay. Denver coming off a loss and they're on the road to Denver. So what happens, honestly, what happens if they face a playoff team capabilities possible, veteran quarterback? Let's say they're inside Denver's territory and it's the same situation. Does he do it again or does he say, no, I got to go for it this time. I can't settle for a second tie. My point is, if you're not worried about settling for a second one, why the hell would you have settled for a first one? You see what I'm saying? And then put your best threat on the field. You don't keep Reggie Bush on the sidelines in a national title game against Texas. Even if you don't give it to him, you put his ass on the field. Not the guy that you know is going to get tackled, meaning Rex Burkhead in this one. A lot of respect for him. If he touches the ball 19 times this week, Segs, I'm quitting football. Okay, maybe not quitting football. I'm going to think about it.
The one word that immediately came to my mind when I was watching it was a word I've heard you say a million times in the years we've known each other. It was chicken shit. That was the immediate word I thought when I think I even said it out loud to my dad when we were watching it. It's just like,
right.
It's just, I would have been so pissed if I was a Texans fan or, you know, if I was still working there. Like, I listened to the show and you guys rightfully were just going off on it. And it's just something that, you know, you had fans calling in. They were all, most of them were right. I heard a few, you know, throughout the day there in Houston kind of defending the move. But if it was the fourth quarter, sure. Right move. Send it to overtime. Maybe you get a win. But this was not the fourth quarter. This is not where you keep playing.
And like I said, if you're a playoff team and it's the middle of December,
and
a tie is going to help you win the division by a half game 2 weeks later, by all means, dude, go for it. But I was thinking, hell, play action, give me a run pass option. Mills can dive a yard. I mean, anything that gives me a chance to swing through a kick and win it or go down and end the damn thing, right? Because remember, at that point in time, both teams had their possession, right? So a field goal ends it. What?
Go win the damn game.
What? Thank you.
And then look at
it's a loser's lament to think about tying instead of going for the win.
Right. And then look at last night. You had Nathaniel Hackett, 50 something seconds left in the game, and they just let the clock go. I don't know if you saw the Manning cast. Peyton was immediately like, timeout, timeout, timeout.
Yes.
Yeah, timeout, call timeout, call timeout, call timeout. And if you're Russ, why are you not? You're a veteran. Why are you not calling timeout?
Yeah, what are you afraid the coach is going to get mad at you on the sidelines? Deal with that later. I said that on my show this morning. I said, listen, I'll beg permission rather than ask forgiveness.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll beg forgiveness rather than ask permission. I'm like, screw that. If he's not calling it, you throw a timeout on him and go over there and he chews you out and say, coach, I went, why wait? Let's make the decision without paying. 30-some, almost 40 seconds roll off the clock, right, Segs?
Yeah,
and
then went from 50-something to 22
64-yard
or something. Yeah.
Nuts.
And you just paid this guy $250 million. He's one of the best quarterbacks. He's a veteran quarterback. You trust him to make that play with a group of wide receivers that are very good, with a young back who is very good. You know, you have talent there. And they chose, again, like you said, to kick a 64-yarder to win it with a kicker that's never kicked 60. I think he's kicked 61. And he even said, he's like, I've never kicked 64.
Four or five of them.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just, what are you doing?
If it's in Denver where there's an altitude distance,
Okay, yeah,
yeah, I
that
got a
yes.
chance. Maybe, maybe.
Yes.
It's in Seattle. It's the air is a little more dead. Well, a lot more than the Mile High City.
Yeah.
And I get, like you said, if I'm paying, okay, what would Andy Reid have done?
No, he would have went for it. He would
Mahomes
have
has
called.
the ball in his hand. Called timeout,
He would have called
talked to
timeout.
Mahomes. He and Bieniemy would have discussed and said, listen, fourth and five, where's our best chances?
Yeah.
Hell, the kicker would have looked and said, put it in 15's
What
hands,
you
man.
know what Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy would have done? They would have went to Patrick Mahomes and been like, "What's your play? What's the play you would like to run
Yeah,
here
not
in
it's
this
already a matter we're
situation?"
going for it. It's not even
Yes,
right. It's not even a
exactly.
question whether we're going for it. What play do you like best on fourth and five? And
Exactly.
trust that he's going to make the throw. And then you know what you do, Sakes? Hell, with all that time left, even no time, you go spike it. Now it's second down. Now I get you 10 more yards on a completion, spike it again, and now we can kick.
Yeah, set up a 40-yard kick.
Right. Nathaniel Hackett coached like he was like it was a Pop Warner, like he forgot that, dude, remember you were an assistant in Green Bay? Now you're the head coach. This is on you. Did you not look at your sheet during the week and say, if there's this, we do this? Just like you ask us as players to do as a coach, right? You ask us, hey, in third and five, have a play in mind in case the used to be in case the headset goes out, or if you can't see the signals because the weather, have a play in mind that you can run on third and five or fourth and five or
Right.
fourth and one. You ask us to do it as players. I'm asking you as a coach to understand game situations. He went haywire, and I can't stand it.
Yeah. And then last but not least, we'll end on this. Another dumb decision coaching wise, the Jets. LaFleur's the OC, right? 59 pass attempts for Joe Flacco. 59. This game wasn't 45-6. It was 24-9. You're within two scores, and you have your backup quarterback because your young starter got hurt. Throw 59 times in week one. I mean, that's just coaching malpractice, in my opinion. And you know,
Can't win.
if you're Robert Saleh, how are you not saying, "Hey, run the ball some. Like, let's change things up because it's obviously not working." You threw it 59 times and scored 9 points. Pathetic.
Especially as a defensive coordinator who sees it, you're sitting there as a defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, and saying, you throw 59 times, unless your name's Brady Mahomes or one of those other cats, most of the regular world, the
Yes.
normal dudes, I'm gonna beat your brains in.
Yeah.
Please throw it 59 times.
Right.
Because then I'm gonna feast on you. And I didn't like Rob, and I'm a huge Saleh fan. Sakes, we've talked
Yeah.
about him when he was leaving. I know players love him, and I respect him, and I think he's gonna be a hell of a coach. But he's also talked about, well, I'm keeping receipts. He's worried about
Yeah,
like what
shut
people are
up.
saying about his team. Yeah, just
Yeah.
stop it. Just friggin' stop it. Well, if your quarterback walked in and Zach Wilson, I'm keeping receipts on the future, dude. I'll tell you what receipt to keep. What's a strong safety doing when he blitzes when you come
Exactly.
back from injury and
Yeah.
you throw a side adjustment and a hot? I just don't get that. What's he think? Dude, you keep losing like this, and as good as the coach he may be, 3 years from now, you ain't going to get to keep receipts. You're going to be turning yours in and coaching somewhere else. So
Yeah.
I just never understood that, oh, I'm keeping score now. Just keep the score on the field. Go win. That's the greatest remedy and argument for anything, Segs, and you and I both know it. I didn't like the way they went about it. They throw 59 times, 15 times this year, they'll lose 14 of them, and you and I
Exactly.
both know it.
Exactly. All right, that'll do it. Thursday we'll come back, we'll do another one, all college football, because I mean, what a weekend that was. And then we'll look ahead to Saturday with some really good games. And then Friday we'll come back and give you a third one, talking NFL, what's coming up this
Bold.
weekend. Yeah,
You got it.
who needs a big win this weekend? Maybe a team like Dallas. I don't know if they'll get it though. That's it. This is the Sean Salisbury Show. He's Sean, I'm Adam.